still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings. And my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience. Let us lay each weight aside. Looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us, He has won the victor's crown, and He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble, and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. When my feet begin to stumble, and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings.
Brother Combs. I could feel Brother Reed tensing up on me up here as he started climbing the ladder. And when he got done, Brother Sound said, well, amen. Well, amen. kind of sounds like he wasn't sure he was getting there, right? Well, amen. Take your Bible tonight, Psalm 106, if you would please. Psalm chapter 106. And again, I hope you'll bear with my voice tonight. And we'll probably just get through half of the preaching, teaching tonight and finish up next Wednesday. But I do want to start off tonight by having you turn to Psalm 106. And we're going to begin reading in verse 21. If you'd stand with me tonight, I want to preach to you on the subject of tonight and next Wednesday, the repenting side of God. The repenting side of God. Now, when you read Psalm 106, this kind of gives you somewhat just a quick synopsis of some of the history of Israel. And as we know, Israel was the people of God. God loved them very much, but they weren't always the most obedient people in the world. They weren't always seemed to be the people that were very conducive to following instructions very well. But I want to pick up, if I could tonight, church, in verse 21. And notice what it says. It says, they, speaking of Israel, forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them, and that's Israel. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. You say, boy, these people were obstinate people. They were stiff-necked, stubborn people. Yes, they were. Kind of resemble some of us today, right? Now, what I'm saying is here that these people upset God because they chose not to follow him and yet began to follow their own devices and their own desires. And we know from this particular passage here that they built a golden calf and began to worship it because they didn't have any patience. They didn't want to wait on the man of God or God himself. And so they did all of these things and it upset God. And you know what he wanted to do? Wipe them out. But I want you to go, if you would now, over to verse 43. And I want you to notice how God responded. It says, many times did he, God, deliver them. And everybody can say, amen. How many times has he delivered us out of situations? But they, Israel, provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, notice what God does. He regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. Now notice verse 45. And he remembered for them his covenant. And notice what it says, repented according to the multitude of his mercies. Now here's the thing. We know and understand what the definition of mercy is. But before we go any further, I want you to understand that the word repent also has a specific definition in context. And basically the word repent follows a twofold definition. It means to have deep sorrow or remorse, or it also means to change one's mind regarding conduct. Now I want to talk to you about this particular case because when you mention the word repent and you mention the word God, they just don't seem to go together. They just don't seem to connect with each other. And yet here the scripture says God repented according to the multitude of his mercies. And I want to talk to you tonight about the repenting side of God. Now, Father, thank you for the privilege of reading the Word of God. We pray that you'd open our heart, open our spirit tonight to learn something, a truth from the Bible. And we'll give you the glory for the results of it all tonight. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. And amen, you can be seated. Church, I think probably the best thing for us to do, if I could tonight, hold your place there in Psalm 106 and turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. Now, I mentioned to you that repent in Scripture also means to have deep sorrow or remorse. When we talk about someone repenting of their sins and turning to Jesus Christ, what we're saying is that they are remorseful for their sinful and lost condition and they turn from unbelief to belief in Jesus Christ, that he's the Savior. Now look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now what I want you to see here is, did you notice it says, we have not an high priest, that's Jesus Christ, he says, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Now you say, what does that mean, preacher? That means that God understands not only who we are, he also understands what we go through, and he can be touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He can be touched with what you're going through and bring himself and allow himself to come to a place where he can feel that sorrow and feel that remorse in your situation. Now, before we go any further, I think it's probably best that we look at a couple of things. First of all, I think we need to accept the fact that God is God, and you're never going to figure him out. Okay? So stop wasting brain power and stop burning up brain cells of trying to figure out God. He's given you a Bible. He wants you to know everything he wants you to know about him right there. All right? And so we're just going to have to accept God is God. And he can do as he chooses, whether I agree or whether I understand or not. For us to see the word repent connected in context with God, it shouldn't alarm you or cause you confusion. Now, a couple of things I want you to think about. First of all, for God to exercise repentance does not cause him to cease to be God. Just because he exercises sorrow or remorse or a change of mind doesn't mean that he ceases to be God. The second thing I want you to think about, for God to be associated with repentance does not compromise his holiness or his deity. Now we're going to look at this in just a moment. And the third thing is, for God to exhibit repentance does not cast doubt on any of his attributes. So God can actually exercise within the realm of his overall plan and yet still feel sorrow and remorse for something, and he can also change his direction in about something. Now you say, preacher, no, wait a minute now. I just read not too long ago in Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6 where the Bible says, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. You say, no, explain that. Well, that's exactly what it means. But in order to understand what he's talking about, he said, I am the Lord. He said, I am God. I am the person of God. I change not. There is no other gods other than me. He's not saying that he cannot maneuver within the overall plan of God. He just said, I'm God, no other gods beside me. And this is referring to his character and to his person. And because of who he is and what he is, he cannot change what he is, and that's God. And so he's not referring to that he cannot move within the realm of his plan and his will. Now I want you to listen very carefully. God does allow himself to judge and extend mercy as needed in his overall plan. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. Let me show you something here. Romans 9 and verse 15. Now we're going somewhere with this. We probably won't get to where I want to go tonight, but next Wednesday, be back and you'll get the synopsis of everything and I'll make the application. All right? Romans chapter 9 and verse number 15. Are you with me there? For he saith, speaking of God, saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And he says, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You say, now that verse right there, what is that saying, preacher? Well, that's telling us that God reserves the right to exhibit his power on or whenever and on whomever he desires. Now, with that said, that means that God can have mercy on whom he will have mercy and doesn't have to check with you or me about that. He can have compassion within his will and still be God and still be holy and still be righteous and yet still have compassion on whom he will have compassion. For instance, remember the woman caught in adultery? Now the thing about it, what did the law say? Come on now, help me out. What did the law say? Stone her. Now the thing about it is, Jesus could have said, come on ahead guys, stone her to death. Did she deserve to be stoned? Yes, she did. Was she caught in the very act? Yes, she was. But guess what God, in his divine nature, decided to do? He decided to have mercy and compassion on whom he will have compassion. And he just simply said, any of you boys here without sin, if you are, cast the first stone. Isn't it amazing? Nobody did anything. But God chose out of his divinity to exemplify mercy on this woman, even though she deserved to be stoned. You see, what I'm saying to you, church, is this. God does this as a sovereign God without giving an account of the reason of his choice to anybody. In other words, when he showed compassion and mercy on this adulterous woman, did he have to explain it to anyone? No, he did not. God did not have to explain why he extended it. Now listen, do you think there might have been some people standing around there said, well, you know what? She should have been stoned. What makes her better than anybody else? Why is she any different than anybody else? Well, she may not have been different than anybody else. It's just God chose within his overall framework to have mercy on whom he'd have mercy. Now, what I'm saying to you tonight, church, is God can act within his will and not give an account for the reason of why he acts to anybody. So that's the reason we need to be careful about when we see God do something in one area and then may turn around and not do it in another area, and then we say, I don't understand. Why is God? Is God a respecter of persons? No, he's not. But does God reserve the right to choose whom he will have mercy and compassion on? Absolutely he does. But in the process, he does not cease to be God in the process of making that choice. May I say to you next, God does this to any extent which he pleases. That means he can extend mercy on multitudes of people, or he can extend mercy on one person. He can do it to whatever extent that he pleases and in whatever time and manner that may best fit with his own good pleasure. Isn't that the wonderful thing about God? He gets to do whatever he desires. But there are some things that we need to keep in mind that God will not do and that he holds himself to. But let me say one more thing before we get to that. No one has the right to complain or question his benevolence. Let me say that again. I said no one has the right to complain or question his benevolence. You know what we ought to do when we see God extend grace and mercy and have compassion on someone that probably, in all aspects of the word, probably didn't deserve it? But by the way, can I say something to you? Most of us don't deserve what we get either. But God reserves the right to be able to extend his mercy and his benevolence and his compassion to whosoever that he will. So I'm just saying to you tonight, church, that God reserves that right to exhibit power whenever and on whomsoever he desires. Now, what I want to do for just the next few moments here, and we'll wrap it up with this tonight, there are some areas that God cannot repent. There are some areas that God cannot change. Let me give you a couple of them here. First of all, take your Bible and go to Psalm 119 for a second. Psalm 119, you'll recognize it in verse number 89. Psalm 119 and verse number 89. You find your place? Forever. Stop. How long is that for? That's forever. O Lord, thy word is what? Okay? One of the things that God can never change is his word. He binds himself with his own word. And so God cannot repent. In other words, he cannot change his word. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, God, listen to me now, chooses and has chosen to not change the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So his word is set that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So his word says salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And once you're saved, you're always saved. Can't change that. Listen, I don't care how many people around the world are praying against salvation being eternal and secure. You can pray till the cows come home. He can't change it. Can't change that. Now I'll say to you next. Not only can God not change his plan, may I say also to you that God's not going to change his purpose either. He said, what's the purpose? Evangelizing the world. Ministering to people. Listen, the last thing Jesus said before he ascended up into heaven, what did he tell the church to do? Evangelize. Be a witness. Tell people about the saving grace of Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't care what people believe, God's not changing. He's not repenting or turning from that word. The plan of salvation is set, and the purpose of the church is set. Can't change it. Say, oh Lord, would you please make the laboring of the people of God easier? Would you just have the sinners come to church and be saved so we don't have to go out in the cold weather and tell anybody about Christ? Can you do, listen, you can pray all that you want. But you know what? I don't think God's doing this, but I get a picture, a mental picture, and all, that when God, when we start praying nonsense like that for God to change his word, I just picture him going, because folks, you can pray all that you want. It's not changing. I'm sorry. It's not going to change. He's not going to change the plan of salvation. He's not going to change the purpose that he has for the church. Hey, can I say also something else? He's not going to change in his word. He's not going to change his promise either. And you know what he's promised every born-again believer? A mansion. And can I say to you, he said, now listen, if it were not so, he said, I would have told you. You see, there's a bunch of knuckleheads that think that it's not mansions. It's a glorified hotel. That there's many rooms. Come on. I'm not laboring down here for a room. I can go get that at the Comfort Suites. Hey, the Lord said he's preparing a mansion. Can I say something to you? That ain't changing. He's already settled. He's not going to repent of the word. He's not going to repent of the plan. He's not going to repent of his purpose. He's not going to change and repent of his promises. May I say to you tonight, folks, that there are some absolutes in Scripture. And I just gave you a few absolutes. And it is absolutely true that God will not allow himself to compromise his word nor destroy the content or the integrity of his word. So I'm just here to tell you that there's some things God's not going to repent of. He's not going to change. And one of them, he's not going to repent of his word. He's not going to change some of his word. The second thing that I want you to see quickly tonight is that God cannot repent of his will. You say, what is God's will, preacher? He's willing that everybody be saved. Now, it doesn't matter whether we think, you know what, those people over in such and such place, they'll all go to hell. Well, it doesn't really matter what you think. God wants them to be saved. His will is to reach the entire world. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. Did you hear me? I said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not going to repent of his will. His will is that everyone be saved. That's the reason the gospel is to whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, God's not going to repent of his word. He's not going to repent of his will, for he wants all men everywhere to be saved. Oh, may I also say to believers, let me tell you, another part of his will he's not going to change. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, the thing about it is we get caught up in conforming to the world. He says, no, not conforming to the world, conforming to the image of my son. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, you confused me. I thought he said not to conform to the world, but be transformed. Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. But you've got to be transformed to conform. You with me? There has to be a transformation in order for you to conform to the image of his son. You know what His will is? That all of us allow the life of Jesus to flow through you. That's His will. And may I say to you, He's not repenting of it. He's not going to change it. It's set. That's His will, to see people saved, for saved people, born again believers, to conform to the image of His Son. You know something else of His will? That the church be the instrument of the New Testament to reach the world. Guess who that is, folks? That's us. Can I say to you, folks, God's not going to change that. He's not going to repent and say, well, you know what? Boy, it is 2011. And because it's 2011, I think I'm going to repent and change my mind. And I think what we're going to do is we're not going to use preaching anymore to reach souls. We're going to use music to reach souls. How about that? Ain't going to change. It's still preaching. It's still the church going forth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. It's not going to change. He's not going to repent of preaching the word. That's the reason, listen, preachers would be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke with all longsuffering, exhort people in the word of God. Hey, there's just some things God's not going to change on. He's not going to repent of His word. He's not going to repent of His will. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants us to conform to the image of His Son. Hey, He wants the church. He wants the church to be the instrument in the New Testament to reach the world. Oh, by the way, in case you don't understand the scripture, what's going to happen when we get to heaven, it's still, the church is still the bride of Christ. It ain't changing, folks. There is no other bride. We're it. What I'm saying to you tonight is that the will of God, He cannot repent of His will. Let me tell you something else that's not going to change. Jesus is not going to repent of His own word and His return for all believers. That's not changing. He's still coming back. And matter of fact, do you know even in Jesus' day, they said, I ain't coming back. Hey, can I say to you that there's still some people that don't believe He's coming back? But can I say to you, He's not going to change His will. And His will is, He will come back. He's coming back to gather all believers to Himself. So all I'm saying to you is, first of all, there's some things God cannot repent of. He cannot repent of His word. He cannot repent of His will. Although God will not repent of His will, listen now, He can openly operate freely through His judgment, His mercy, His grace, His long-suffering, in order to change some means of fulfilling His will. And the reason He can do that is because His character doesn't change. He is who He is. And when He says, I am the Lord, I change not. He said, I'm God, I'm Jehovah, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm not changing. His person, His integrity, His character will never change. But He can operate within His will. And He can do so whatsoever He pleases. Well, let me give you one more, we'll be done for tonight. And that's this. Not only can God not change or not repent of His word, He cannot repent of His will, but may I say also, He cannot repent of His way. He said, what's His way? Well, the scripture says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. You know, regardless of what some religions say, when a person dies, folks, without Jesus Christ, they go to hell. Let me say that again, because most people won't say that. So when a person dies and they die without Christ, they go to hell. And can I tell you something tonight? Even God Himself cannot change that. He cannot reach down into hell tonight and retrieve any of your loved ones out. It's over. He cannot repent of it. It's done. Once to die, then the judgment. You see, God in heaven cannot repent of His way. And His way is, it's heaven or hell. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He can't repent of it. Once a person dies without Christ, it's forever without God. He cannot retrieve them. He cannot repent of the way of that He's set for heaven and the way that is set for hell. May I also tell you something else? God cannot repent of His way of the law of sowing and reaping. Let me say that again. I said God cannot repent of His way of the law of sowing and reaping. Because He said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And I'm here to tell you tonight, church, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and been saved 26 years, you listen to me and you listen to me well. That is truth, my brother and sister in Christ. And God cannot repent of it. He holds Himself to His word. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you understand that God has put in place today a governmental system and a system of law that will judge you? He doesn't even have to. The law will judge you. If you don't believe it, go commit a crime. Now listen to me. I want you to listen to me well. Person commits a crime, you can come bawl your eyes out all you want to. God's already set the law. And you know what? The law is going to judge you. You see, God cannot repent of His way. The law of sowing and reaping. How about the law of giving and receiving? Hey, if we give sparingly, guess what? We're going to receive sparingly. If we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. There's a law of giving and receiving. God cannot repent of Himself, repent of the way of sowing and reaping, of giving and receiving. Hey, can I say also to you that God's not going to repent that prayer is your communication line between you and Him? You say, no, preacher, for years, I haven't talked to God in years. I've been writing Him letters. You have. Well, where have you been mailing them? Same place you've been mailing the letters to Santa Claus? Hey, can I say something to you? The way and the line of communication between a believer and their God is prayer. That's it. He's not going to repent of it. That's just the way it is. That's how we communicate with Him. How about laboring as our means of service and reward? He's not changing that. We've already learned that, right? Hey, He's already let it down. Every man will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and they will give an account of their works of what sort they are. Not changing. It's not going to change. So think about this tonight as we meditate on this going into next week. The repenting side of God. God can have deep sorrow and remorse because remember, He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. You know what I think happened that day with that adulterous woman? I think Jesus was touched with the feeling of her infirmity. And though, yes, she deserved to be stoned, God had every right to change anything He so desired without compromising, without negating His holiness, and chose to have mercy on whom He would have mercy and compassion on whom He have compassion. But folks, He's not going to change and repent of His word. He's not going to repent of His will, and He's not going to repent of His way. Now, when we come together next week, I'm going to give you some examples in the Scriptures of where God repented of certain things. And we're going to analyze those and look at those and try to determine what is God operating, what is He doing in that situation. And then next week, I want to finish it out by simply talking to you about what causes God to repent. By the way, if you know your Bible well enough, did you know there's some things that God was going to do and there was something that caused Him to not do it? Yeah, He was going to do it. And something caused Him not to do it. Now, everybody believe we serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe that we still serve a God that intends to do something and there might be some things that we can do to stop it and intervene and be intercessory for someone? We're going to find it. It's right here in your Bible. Matter of fact, if you're reading through the Bible in a year, you'll eventually get to it. You'll say, well,
Look at there. There it is right there. Mark it in your Bible, because I hope you'll be back next week and we'll look at this. Father, bless our time together tonight. What a great God you are. And I pray that you'd bless this invitation time that we have together. Thank you for a merciful and compassionate God. In Jesus' name I pray. Now,